My first two words are thank you to all of you who have come today to surround Gene's family with your love and support. You're not just attending this service, but you're rendering them a very important and holy service by being here today. This is a service in two parts. We begin here in God's house, where some stories will be told, but we will adjourn afterwards. When you go out the big doors, hang a right and head for the room next to the playground, where a reception will await, and more stories can be told and shared with the family and with each other. So welcome in the name of Jesus. We are gathered to worship, to proclaim Christ crucified and risen, to remember before God our brother in Christ, Gene, to give thanks for his life, to commend him to our merciful Redeemer, and to comfort one another in our grief. When God makes promises, God keeps promises. And on the day that Gene was baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus, Paul echoes the promise that God made that day when he writes in Romans 6, "When we were baptized in Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." I invite you to reach for the red book. We're going to use it a lot, so don't put it too far away. Open to hymn number 773. Invite you to stand as we sing, "Precious Lord, Take My Hand."
I am tired, I am weak, I am tired.
knowing that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit are with us, let us pray. God of grace and glory, we remember before you today our brother Eugene Klein, who we knew as Gene. Thank you for giving him to us to know and to love as a companion in our pilgrimage here on earth. And now, in your boundless compassion, console us as we mourn and give us faith to see that death has been swallowed up in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may live in confidence and hope until by your call we are gathered to our heavenly home in the company of all your saints, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. From Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, these words. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. From the letter to the Ephesians. God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. And finally, from Peter's first letter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The 139th Psalm is one of the places in Scripture where we are reminded that our lives are written in God's book of life, a heavenly book of life, if you will. And Gene's name was inked into that book on the day of his baptism. That's the foundation for our time of celebration today. But if Gene's name is in a heavenly book of life, it also appears in an earthly book of life. Most of the time, that's written here and in here, and sometimes it gets written down on paper. Given, for one reason at least, the emotions that accompany a day like this, to name one, I'm going to be the voice of a whole bunch of different people today who have put some of their book of life on paper for me to read. So although you will see me over and over again, please visualize the various people whose names I will announce as we move through this. First of all, this comes from Ned Cherry, Gene's brother. Today we celebrate the life and revisit the memories of my big brother, Eugene Klein Cherry. We were both born in Kansas and we moved to California in 1941. In Kansas, a young neighbor boy could not pronounce the name Eugene. It came out from the young neighbor's boy mouth sounding like Udi. In short order, the kids in the neighborhood began calling my big brother Udi. Our dad and mom hated this, and so they switched to calling him by his middle name, Klein. From that day on, his family always called him Klein. His first name, Eugene, was after our father, Eugene Leonard Cherry. Our father's Eugene name came down from our father's Scottish aunt, Jeannie Cherry. And the name Klein came from our mother's grandmother, Winnie Klein. When we moved to California, we lived in a very small house, which was part of a court of eight cottages in East Los Angeles. My big brother and I shared a couch bed for 11 years while we lived in East Los Angeles. My big brother quickly grew to be bigger in stature than any of the kids his age. Through his early school years, he developed a love and interest in animals. In 1950, we moved to Whittier, where he did very well as a football player, and in his junior year, he entered the Los Angeles Science Fair with an animal nutrition experiment. The Whittier High School paper at one point showed a picture of him with a white rat crawling out of his football helmet with the caption, "Gritter or Scientist?" With his large stature of 6'7", he was the biggest football player in California high school football the year he graduated. Even with his size and football prowess, he was known and loved by all as a kind and gentle giant. In the last few days of his life, due to his stroke, he was barely able to speak or move, but when his daughter Carolyn sang Zippity-Doo-Dah to him, he chimed in and began singing to the extent he was able. This reminded me of the joy we had in the early days when Mom and Dad and Klein and I would go on a Sunday drive and sing along with the radio. Over these last 30 or more years, we spent many hours on the phone talking about our trials and tribulations and laughing at his corny puns. He was truly my loving, gentle, giant big brother. I will miss him terribly. Next comes from the Keyes family, longtime friends of the Cherries. We moved out from cold, snowy Minnesota to Ventura in February 1975. We had just gotten all our stuff in our apartment and were trying to orient ourselves to this new community. The doorbell rang and there stood a very tall man and his small, dark-haired daughter. His hands held a crate of glorious, fresh strawberries. He said, "I'm Gene Cherry, and this is my daughter, Deanna, and we are members of the church you're going to serve as pastor." Since that day in February, we have enjoyed over a 40-year cherished friendship with the Cherry family. While we still lived in Ventura, we became owners of a dog that our children saved from death. Our daughter had named her Annie Laurie. When we brought her home, Gene noticed that her rear right leg was skipping and wanted to check it out at his veterinary hospital. He said she needed some surgery to help her walk more stable. I looked at him and said, "We don't have the money." He gave that Gene smile and laughingly said, "Well, it'll cost you $10,000 or nothing. You choose." You can guess what we chose. When we visited Buena Animal Hospital, we quickly learned Gene's philosophy of caring for the small animals he took care of. The most important element in the clinic was the owners of the animal that were brought in. They were listened to, respected, and cared for. Next is from Deanna Cherry, Gene's daughter. "Dad had many wonderful qualities. A tummy to hug and lay on when I was very young, and big feet to walk on like stilts. An open door to pets, rats, cats, dogs, snakes, hamsters, guinea pigs, even sheep. And a no-strings-attached approach to school tuition, not just for my sister and me, but for his granddaughter as well. A loan to launch my business, and a celebration dinner when I could pay him back. The words to pull me out of a rabbit hole and make me strong. When Walt Whitman said, 'I am large, I contain multitudes,' he was certainly talking about my dad. There were difficult times, and we went through some of those together. In the end, he was the embodiment of peace, surrounded by love. Dad, you will be missed, and the difference you made is immeasurable. Love, Deanna." From Carolyn Cherry, Gene's daughter. These are some of my most vivid memories of Daddy. When he brought cow hearts and lungs to elementary school during our health unit so we could see how the lungs worked when you blew them up with a straw. Wish I would have been there for that. Getting mini root beers at the A&W while waiting for a burger. Eating Johnny's burritos and eating popsicles in the summertime. Singing songs from Oklahoma with Dad, Deanna and Jenna Quarelli in the car, especially Poor Judd is Dead, when returning from a fishing trip to Lake Casitas. Telling bad jokes, puns, and stories to everyone he met, to the embarrassment of his wife and daughters. When our family traveled to Europe in the summer of 83, Dad took the metro at night all the way from Paris to Versailles to make sure we didn't get lost going there the next day. When he taught me how to drive, both automatic and stick shift, let's just say I tested his patience and his temper at times. When he gave our cat, Ralph, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation after being hit by a car in front of our house. Setting curfews, saying, nothing good happens after midnight. The really big argument we had about when I would go to graduate school. He was so afraid I would never go back to school and what I was going to do with my life. I think he quit worrying when I landed a job in Minneapolis, but then asked for years if and when I was moving back to California. The long talks we would have on the phone about all sorts of nonsensical stuff and getting a play-by-play commentary about whatever cooking show or movie he was watching at the time. And one of the best gifts he and Mom gave was loving my friends, welcoming them into our home, whether it be for parties, weekend hangouts at the Cherries, or when they needed a surrogate parent or a sanctuary, Mom and Dad always made my friends feel welcome and supported. Since Papa died, some of them have reached out to share their memories of him. Here are some that exemplify what he meant to them. From Laura Gold Bolden, Carolyn's friend from kindergarten. Her mom was Carolyn and Deanna's kindergarten teacher. Your dad was a wonderful man. I remember when I was a little girl when he gave me a sticker, probably more than once. I'm pretty sure it was always a red embroidered heart. I was almost sure he was the only man who had such fancy stickers. At least that's what I thought when I was a kid. For some reason, we stuck one on the frame of the screen door many years ago, and it's still there at my parents' house after all these years. My mom just shared with me how much she appreciated your dad for his kindness and support for her as a teacher. A dear man is what she said. From John Templeton, Carolyn's friend from Minnesota. My heart has been torn in half over the loss of this dear friend. Gene and I spent many an hour on the phone just talking and carrying on with each other. His love and his heart were full of compassion and love, and his spirit was intoxicating. He will be missed by all of those who he has touched. From Heather Cooney, Carolyn's freshman year college roommate. I think I still have a heart sticker or two that Gene generously gave out to people wherever he went. He made me feel loved and special. When I was in graduate school, he and Karen invited me to their home on many weekends so I could study and get some peace. They spoiled me with the best hospitality anyone could ask for. Gene knew all the best places in town to get sushi, Mexican food, and other Ventura classics. I loved going to the farmer's market with both of them because they knew what to look for and how to get the most out of the experience. I loved hearing him laugh and share stories. I loved seeing his beautiful flower arrangements. He had a smile that would make anyone change their mood. I always got the feeling that it would be all okay after spending some time with Gene. His advice was very helpful to me. Blessings to Karen, who has been a rock, a trooper, a cheerleader, a nurse, and a dedicated wife, such a role model for all of us. From Brett Bannon, Carolyn's friend from Minnesota. My heart is heavy with sorrow at the loss of a man who was like a father to me. He loved me unconditionally. He mentored in so many ways and was patient beyond belief when teaching me about bonsai and ikebana, to name just a couple of interests. His laughter was hearty and jokes numerous. He was a kind and gentle soul and will be deeply missed. May the angels lead him into paradise and may the martyrs welcome him. Carolyn concludes, "These are the things that Papa taught me. Don't be afraid of bugs and creepy crawly things. Using Latin names can be handy. For example, he's a real pain in the cloaca." Didn't know when I'd ever say that in church. Knowing the Latin names of plants is important too. How to bait a hook and clean a fish. Love animals and growing things. Find hobbies that become your passion. Growing your own fruit and vegetables is a lot of work and rewarding. Create beauty in the places where you live and work. A loud laugh is contagious. How to play cribbage. It's fun to win and really important to learn how to be a gracious loser. It is possible to keep a phone conversation going at least 15 minutes after you've said goodbye. Get really good at something and share that knowledge with others. It is okay to make mistakes, sometimes really big ones, and fail. This is how you learn. It's all right to cry. Speak your truth, even when it's hard for others to hear. Remember to tell people how much they mean to you. Music and singing are healing. It's important to volunteer and contribute to your community. Give your children the tools to take care of themselves and follow their dreams. The value of an education and lifelong learning, the gift of hospitality, to be thankful for all of God's gifts. Vaya con Dios, Daddy. Vaya con Dios. We will sing some more. Hymn number 781, Children of the Heavenly Father. From the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you're going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of the light. I have known Gene Cherry for a long time, since the early 1980s, but unfortunately I have to say I know him on a very occasional basis, usually at church meetings like our district conventions and synod assemblies and the like. Nevertheless, I would like to imagine that he and I would have a real good conversation about the passage that I just read. I just read it to you in the version that Gene probably heard growing up and for the early part of his adult life, maybe in Lutheran churches read from the Revised Standard Version, which reads the same as the old King James Version. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. More recent translations, like the one we read in a lot of Lutheran churches today, for example, have made that passage a little bit more inclusive. So you'll hear it, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. Well, that's better, but I'd like to think that Gene, who liked to teach others a little bit of Latin, wouldn't mind learning a little bit of Greek himself. Because in the original language of this passage, neither the word men nor the word people is there. It simply says, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everything to myself. Everything. And today we are giving thanks to God for the life of a man who loved people, to be sure. And you are the tip of the iceberg of those people that I mentioned. He was a big man who loved in a big way, in lots of different directions. But his love didn't just stop there with people. He loved the rest of God's creation too, animals especially, but he even let that love extend into the plant world as well. And those words from John 12 are in total agreement, in a very similar way, with that most famous passage of all from the Bible, John 3:16. When you say it in English, it's "for God so loved the world." But when you say it in Greek, it's "for God so loved the cosmos." And I think Gene's grin would have grown real big at hearing how expansive God's love would be, as even more expansive than Gene's reach and bigger than his hug. One of the ways that many people, and I, perhaps it's preaching to the choir today, maybe it's everybody in the room, who hundreds if not thousands of people that received these little hearts from him. Whatever company made these little embroidered hearts that were given out on so many people at church meetings I know of, but I'm hearing about other meetings as well. I wish I'd bought stock in that company. And I know that he did the same thing in so many other circles of his life. And we all received those little hearts then and today as a testimony to the love that Gene had for his Lord in a very simple, gentle, yet enduring way, as we have heard, of just telling others that that's who he is. And I got to say, I was very deeply honored last night at the visitation when I happened to look over and noticed, guess who in the room isn't wearing one? Gene. So I had the privilege of placing that little tiny heart over his great big heart, and that meant a lot to me. And Gene even saw to it that one of those little hearts was given to a very important figure in our Lutheran church. Back in 83, when the family was in Europe, they traveled to Germany. And if you've ever been to Germany, then you know that in lots and lots of towns throughout Germany, there are statues of this guy, Martin Luther. Maybe you've heard of him. He's having kind of an anniversary thing this year. Well, when the family was in the town of Worms, there was yet another, and they're mostly big statues too, another big statue of Brother Martin. And this was an opportunity that Gene could not pass up. And so, there it is. We're going to start over. There we go. So there is Gene hoisting Deanna up with his strong arms, supporting her so that up on the lapel of Martin Luther's coat, you can barely see it, there's a little red dot that he is wearing now. And I hope that Gene could hear Martin Luther say to him, "Thanks for joining me in proclaiming the love of God for the whole wide world, for the whole cosmos, and for everything, that love that we both know in Jesus Christ our Lord. There are any number of Bible passages that may bring Gene to mind as you wander through the scriptures. The story of Noah's Ark might be one with all those animals. Or there's a verse from Psalm 36 which speaks of our God as being one who saves animals and humans. Or when Jesus says, "Consider the birds of the air." Or any passage that speaks of God's love for us in Jesus. You're free to choose your own. I've already made my choice. It's verse 3 from Psalm 34. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Jesus once said, "Everyone who acknowledges me before the Father, before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven." Anybody who knows Gene knows with 100% certainty that Jesus has taken his name to the Father. And the Father has said, "Gene? Oh, yes, I know Gene. But I've just got one question. Do you think I could get one of those little hearts too?" Amen. We'll sing again, hymn number 595, "Jesus Loves Me." If you would turn in the front of the book you're holding to page 282, page 282 in the front of the Book of Worship, there you will find the Apostles' Creed and the prayers of intercession with which we continue the service. Page 282. With the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The prayers of intercession continue on 282. Let us pray. Almighty God, in holy baptism, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion of saints in the body of Christ. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to share the new life in Christ. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Give courage and faith to all who mourn, and assure and certain hope in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may have strength for the days ahead. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to us who are still in our pilgrimage, and who walk as yet by faith, that where this world groans in grief and pain, your Holy Spirit may lead us to bear witness to your light and your life. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Help us in the midst of things we cannot understand to believe and trust in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection to life everlasting. God of mercy, hear our prayer. God of all grace, we give you thanks because by his death, our Savior Jesus Christ destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection, he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. So make us certain that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We continue on the right column on page 283. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Saints in light. Amen.
Amen.
And by your standard.